Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Renee Powers here. And today I'm going to share my five ride or die authors. So these are five authors I adore. I will read anything these writers put onto paper. I'd love to know who your go-to authors are, so hit me up on Instagram and let me know. First, I want to talk about Morgan Jerkins. If you've been following Feminist Book Club for a while, you'll know that her first book, This Will Be My Undoing, was my favorite book of 2018. I was overjoyed to have Morgan on the show to celebrate our 100th episode. Her second book, Wandering in Strange Lands, was a brilliant genealogical memoir that completely engrossed me. Our team here has already celebrated Morgan's debut novel, Call Baby. Natalia interviewed Morgan again for the podcast, focusing on that book, and Ashley reviewed the book for the blog. I have to confess, I haven't gotten to it yet, though I do own a copy. For reasons I won't get into, I'm having trouble with literary fiction these days. I just want to be in a good headspace for that one. So I'm really looking forward to Call Baby when I get to it. Just know that I will absolutely, hands down, buy and read anything Morgan Jerkins writes. I'm a huge fan. I think she is one of the rising stars of the literary world. Again, that was Morgan Jerkins, author of This Will Be My Undoing, author of Wandering in a Strange Land, and author of Call Baby. The next author I love is Silvia Moreno Garcia. I'm currently reading one of her upcoming books, Velvet Was the Night, and it is sweeping me away. She has quite the oeuvre of work, but the first book of hers that I read was Gods of Jade and Shadow. I was totally hooked. I'm not usually a magical realism fan, but Silvia Moreno Garcia writes such lush settings and interesting deep characters that this one totally worked for me. I mean, how could you not love a preteen gallivanting around Mexico with the god of death? It was brilliant. What I love most about her writing is really how varied it is. If you had told me that she'd follow up Gods of Jade and Shadow with Mexican Gothic, a creepy horror novel with psychedelic mushrooms and a eugenicist patriarch, I would have laughed at you. But that's exactly what she did, and it was one of my favorite books of 2020. I don't know how she cranks out such high quality and unusual books, but I'm absolutely here for it. That was Silvia Moreno Garcia. Books I've mentioned here are Gods of Jade and Shadow, Mexican Gothic, and her upcoming noir, Velvet Was the Night. The third author I want to chat about, and these are in no particular order, I swear. The third author is Samira Ahmed. Another previous podcast guest, I had Samira on to chat about her book, Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, a young adult novel told in two timelines and set in Paris. But my first introduction to her work was the book Internment, another YA novel. This one set, what she says, 15 minutes in the future in a camp not unlike the ones that are currently at the US-Mexico border, but this camp is especially for Muslim Americans. It's brilliant. Samira is especially skilled at writing main characters, but the kinds of characters that you can't help to root for. So these girls are full of gumption and courage and curiosity, and they're discovering their strength over the course of these books. She has such a deep understanding of what it's like to wrestle with big decisions as a teenager, and I love that about her writing. So that was Samira Ahmed, author of Internment, and Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, among other things. The next author I want to gush about is Amanda Montell. Here's the deal. Everything Amanda touches is magic. Her first book, Word Slut, is a nonfiction book about feminist sociolinguistics, which sounds hella dull, but it was probably the funniest book I read in 2020. I had the honor of interviewing her for the podcast, and I instantly felt like we just became best friends. I want to crawl up inside her brain, hang out for a little bit, because the way that she asks research questions and just like strategizes her research questions is unbelievable. I just got an arc of her second book, Cultish, about the language of cults. Now, had you asked me, what do you think Amanda will write next? The answer wouldn't have been cults, but if you'd asked me, what do you want Amanda to write next? The answer definitely would have been cults. I'm looking forward to diving into her sophomore book because I am certain it will be extraordinarily researched, deeply moving, and bitingly funny. So that was Amanda Montell, author of Word Slut and Cultish. Finally, I can't not talk about Andrea Bartz to round out the top five. I just finished her third book, We Were Never Here. Recently, I've been on such a thriller kick, and I've just been craving kind of easy, fast-paced, immersive, and super fun reads that are kind of twisty-turny and just fun. And Andrea's books always scratch that itch and never disappoint. I interviewed her for her first book, The Lost Night, and her second book, The Herd. And she's just got this knack for keeping the reader on their toes. Her characters may not be super fleshed out, but they're totally relatable. They can easily be you or your friends. But what she does best is the fast-moving pace of her plots. Just when you think you know where it's going, boom, a previous character shows up, and what the hell? What did they have to do with the murder? Oh shit. At least that's been my experience because I'm actually notoriously bad at figuring out who done it. So I'm always surprised. I'm like the best kind of reader for these. Her books are definitely kind of like a hashtag millennial vibe, but let's face it, I'm a hashtag millennial, so I'm not sorry. These are like catnip for me. So that was Andrea Bartz, author of The Lost Night, The Herd, and her newest is We Were Never Here. Before I let you go, I have to share some runners up. Folks that I felt like couldn't necessarily be in my top five because maybe there's like not enough of their books out there. So the first is Leah Johnson, author of You Should See Me in a Crown. She'll be releasing her second novel later this summer called Rise to the Sun. I can't wait for it. I've already pre-ordered it. Her first book was set in Indiana, where we're both from, so it felt like home, and it's just the epitome of Black girl joy, and it's such a feel-good book. The second honorable mention is Quan Berry, author of We Ride Upon Sticks. I know I said Word Slut was my favorite, funniest book I read all year, but I totally lied. This book made me actually guffaw. And I don't know if I've ever said that word out loud, but that's how it made me laugh. Quan Berry is a poet by trade, so she just knows how to craft language. She just uses language like a paintbrush. I've recommended her first novel to everyone I know, and I am eagerly awaiting any news about any forthcoming novels. Finally, Jessica Goudeau wrote After the Last Border, which completely blew my mind. She profiled the refugee experience of two women from different parts of the world alongside the history of refugee policy in the United States, and it was a remarkable piece of work and deserved far more buzz and awards and accolades than it received. I look forward to anything Jessica writes because I know it will most likely change the way I view the world. So let me know on Instagram some of your ride or die authors. There were plenty of authors I left out, but these are my tried and true. I will link all of the books and any applicable author interviews in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to my segment today. Again, I'm Renee, and you can find me on my personal Instagram account at BelleRenee, or I'm generally always the person behind the Feminist Book Club Instagram account, which is Feminist Book Club Box. Stay tuned for another one of Mariquita's beautiful book reviews. Seriously, if you haven't tuned into her book reviews on this show, they are almost as beautiful as the books themselves. I can't wait till Mariquita writes a book. Let's just put it that way. So that's up next. Today's episode is sponsored by Kobo. Happy Audiobook Month, readers! From now until June 30th, you can get your first audiobook for free, plus 30% off the next 3 months. Choose from thousands of audiobook titles in Kobo's catalog, including bestsellers and originals. You can use your monthly credit on any audiobook, regardless of its list price. With the free Kobo app, you have access to your listening library at all times. So now that summer travel is ramping back up, take your book with you in the car, on the plane, or at the beach. One thing I love about the Kobo app is the ability to adjust the listening speed. I tend to listen to audiobooks at 1.5 speed while I'm doing housework or gardening. If you want a feature-packed audiobook listening experience, visit www.kobo.com/feministbc to claim your free audiobook and 30% off your next 3 months. That's www.kobo.com/feministbc or click the link in our show notes. Offer available until June 30th. Thank you to Kobo for sponsoring today's show.
Claire Fuller's new book has broken my heart. Hi all, I'm Mariquita Guerrera, and I've just spent the last couple of days devoted to Unsettled Ground by Claire Fuller, published May 18th by Tin House. While Ms. Fuller has written three novels previous to this title, the only one I had read heretofore was Bitter Orange, but I loved it. When Tin House offered galleys to folks that were open to reviewing her newest book, I jumped at the chance, and I'm so grateful I did. Unsettled Ground tells the story of 51-year-old twin siblings, Julius and Jeannie Cedar, who, until the very recent death of their mother, Dot, lived a quiet and simple life altogether in a dilapidated cottage in the rural English countryside, making their living doing odd jobs and managing a small plot of land. Upon the death of their mother, small fissures begin to open up in the tightly woven life they've all lived. As the siblings work to rebuild something that feels comforting and familiar, it becomes evident that the previous incarnation of their world was held together by omissions as much as by love. Unsettled Ground is suffused with gorgeous little details, unconscious habits and patterns that we often engage in but seldom consider, such as when Julius, the elder of the twins, absentmindedly moves his lips across a small blister on his palm as he considers how deep to dig the grave for his mother. What seems like such a throwaway moment textures his isolation and contemplation, bringing the reader more deeply into the world Fuller has crafted. This world, too, is beautiful, even in its brutality. It was a place I found myself yearning to revisit, despite the turns in narrative that led down a darker and more uncertain path. And it was a world that felt out of time, living as the twins did, without many of the conveniences that accompany contemporary life. Julius, it is noted, has a cell phone, not a smartphone, but not the electricity to charge it, and only when he remembers to prepay for credits to keep it functional. When other characters mention Alexa or e-readers, smartphones, and other symbols of modernity, there's a dissonant, jarring feeling. Each item an anachronism in a world that feels almost drained of color and drenched in sepia. It's not only the world that feels frozen in time either, as Julius and Jeannie are both emotionally, developmentally stalled at around age 12, a time in their lives when they both experienced significant tragedy, in which tragedy has reverberated and shaped them going forward. Fuller is careful in her handling of this event and its after effects, not leaning too heavily on the details, but letting the impact of it come up naturally in gestures, beliefs, and assertions, until it builds into a revelation, another lie among a catalog of others that undergirded the twins' lives. The real struggle of Unsettled Ground is not really between truth and fiction, though, but the space that is built between the twins and the world as the result of poverty, paranoia, and grief. And it is this struggle that creates the denouement of the novel, an event which forces the characters to second-guess their own instincts and finally allow others into their lives. So, listen, I do love this book, but so far, I've only talked about the overarching plot pieces that have moved me, and not some of the smaller things that I really appreciate, except, granted, that gesture of Julius's. There's something that gets missed in a lot of stories that discuss poverty. And there was one moment in Unsettled Ground that I appreciated. Another one of Fuller's beautiful, easily overlooked details. Jeannie is in the shop, trying to count her coins, make the math add up in her head. All the food they need, the necessities, so much greater than the means of acquiring them. She has to decide between groceries and toilet paper. She has to decide between groceries and tampons. There is a humiliation and a resignation in that, a feeling of exhausted acceptance that is not so often made explicit in works of fiction, but it is there, just a moment. And then the tragedy of Jeannie, unable to read or write after having been pulled from school early and having never gotten the specialized help she needed, walking past a free box containing non-perishables, tampons, all the things she needed, but forwent in favor of having just enough to eat. The attention given to the struggle that so many impoverished, menstruating people face does not make this book a feminist text, nor does Fuller's representation of the unequal burden of worry, of caretaking, of making ends meet that Jeannie takes on. But it does make it a better book, in my eyes. It makes it a more honest book. It makes it a more relatable book. We could be better served by books that included more quandaries like this and other equations, balancing acts, decision points faced by so many, but which often go unacknowledged. There is darkness and unsettled ground, but there is light there too. It will stay with me for a bit, and I don't even mind. If you get the opportunity, let it sit with you too. That's Unsettled Ground by Claire Fuller, published by Tin House, and released May 18th. And I'm Mariquita Guerrera. You can find me on Instagram at @O_Murray. That's OH_MURRAY. Connect with me there if you have suggestions or thoughts or other recommendations. I would just love to talk about books with you. Until next time, take care of yourself. Take care of one another. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a thing.